This is Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal for November 17, 2011. This is Meredith DeFrancesco. Today we look at a Target employees petition to address a move by a number of big box stores to require employees to work Thanksgiving night. We also look at Solidarity Harvest in Bangor, a community building effort to bring Thanksgiving boxes to laid off workers and others this holiday. And we check in with Occupy Wall Street encampments in Maine. So-called Black Friday isn't enough this year for some big-box retailers wanting to cash in on the early Christmas shopping frenzy. This year, instead of opening at 5 a.m. on Friday, many chains have opted to bring in their employees for Black Thursday. Target, Macy's, Best Buy, and Kohl's all are slated to open at midnight on Thursday. Walmart has announced a 10 p.m. opening, and Toys R Us a 9 p.m. opening on Thanksgiving night. Anthony Hardwick, a Target employee in Omaha, Nebraska, has decided to push back against this trend to stand up for workers' rights to observe the Thanksgiving holiday. He started a petition at change.org, which has gained widespread support and media attention. Today we speak with Anthony Hardwick, but first we go to Charlotte Hill, the communications manager at change.org. Can you tell us about this move this year by many big box stores who are opening the stores at midnight on Thanksgiving for shopping, and this petition by an employee of Target that has gained significant attention through change.org and has spawned some other related petitions around big box stores requiring employees to come in Thanksgiving night?
Sure. Well, as you just mentioned, more and more retail stores are participating in kind of what looks like an arms race, where they're opening their stores earlier and earlier and earlier on Black Friday, year after year, to be able to better compete and get shoppers in their doors before those shoppers then go to other retail stores. This year is the first time that we've seen a lot of retail stores deciding to open actually on Thanksgiving night, what people are now calling Black Thursday. And so shoppers can get in the door on that Thursday instead of Friday. Anthony Hardwick is a young man who works at a Target in Omaha, Nebraska, and he was assigned a Thursday night shift at Target to prepare for their midnight opening. This would mean that he would end up missing Thanksgiving dinner with his new fiance, as he says he'd have to go to bed around 1 or 2 p.m. to get some sleep before going into work at 11. So Anthony went on change.org and launched a campaign to, as he calls it, save Thanksgiving for families of these retail workers. His campaign has quickly gone viral. It currently has almost 90,000 supporters. These are people who have signed an online petition. And actually, it's pretty cool. Anthony heard about a previously successful campaign on change.org, a campaign launched by a woman named Molly Catchpole, who was able to pressure Bank of America to drop its $5 monthly debit card fee. And Molly was successful in helping convince Bank of America to drop that fee. Anthony heard about her success, was really inspired, and decided to go on change.org to launch his own campaign to Target.
And now, since he has launched this campaign and as you said, over 90,000 signatures so far, and we should say we're speaking with you on Tuesday, and this will air on Thursday, that other similar petitions have been created targeting other big box stores like Macy's, Best Buy, Kohl's, Walmart, or at least those stores are also opening at midnight. Can you talk about some of the petitions that have sprung out of this effort and who have instigated those?
Sure. So after Anthony launched his change.org campaign, many other people started creating similar campaigns on our platform targeting different retail stores. So as you mentioned, Target, Walmart, Toys R Us, Macy's, Best Buy, Kohl's, all of these retail stores and more are now facing change.org campaigns launched by other users of our platform. Now, some of those campaigns were launched by actual employees of those stores. There's one great example of a spouse of at Walmart who decided to launch a campaign. We can't track, we don't know for sure whether people are employees of stores or not when they create a petition, so we have to rely on the comments that they leave on their petition. But yeah, over 50 campaigns have been launched since Anthony launched his against Target.
And what has been the response have you received, or I should say we have received some response from Target, and we're wondering if you have a sense of the reception that Target and other big box stores have had to these petitions or this perceived pushback from consumers and employees. We've received a letter that we will share with our listeners and I have sent to you. So I wonder if you might address any of the aspects that Target expresses.
Sure. Yeah. So, well, I should first clarify that change.org is a platform for anyone anywhere to start campaigns on the issues they care about. Since this isn't a campaign launched by change.org, since we don't launch our own campaigns, mm-hmm. none of these stores have responded to us directly about these petitions. But we have heard, for example, that Target has responded to some reporters debating the what Anthony says, that he was scheduled to work on Thanksgiving evening. It's our understanding that Anthony was directly asked by his supervisor at Target to be at work at 11 p.m. on Thanksgiving night. And if Target's management has decided to switch the schedules, they have yet to inform Anthony of the change. I think it's worth noting that this campaign is about one guy sticking up for, you know, workers like him who are a little afraid of speaking out for themselves for fear of losing their jobs. This is about families wanting to be together on Thanksgiving, not stuck at work. And regardless of one individual person's work schedule, it's clear through the nearly 90,000 people that have joined Anthony's campaign that this is really resonating with workers all across the country.
Charlotte Hill with Change.org, anything else you want to add?
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you very much. Target declined an on-air interview, but a representative for the public relations at Target, Molly Snyder, writes, quote, "Black Friday is one of the busiest and most competitive shopping days of the year. We have heard from our guests that they want to shop at Target following their Thanksgiving celebrations, rather than only having the option of getting up in the middle of the night. By opening at midnight, we are making it easier than ever to deliver on our guests' wants and needs. The team member you are referencing is not now and has never been scheduled to work on Thanksgiving or Black Friday at Target. Our understanding is that this team member also works full-time for another retailer. In early November, he informed his Target managers that he was scheduled to work at his other job on Black Friday and indicated that he needed the day off from Target. We honored that request. Target does our best to work around the schedule of all our team members, making every effort to accommodate their requests. Target will offer holiday pay to all our hourly team members who work on Thanksgiving Day." End quote. Here is Anthony Hardwick, a Target team member at Target in Omaha North. So we have with us now on the phone Anthony Hardwick, the Target employee who started the petition that has brought to focus the shift a number of big box stores have made to open their stores at midnight on Thanksgiving, thus requiring employees to work on the holiday. Welcome to the program, Anthony Hardwick.
Thank you for having me. I'm overjoyed to be here.
Can you talk with us about your pushback against this business trend that we're seeing this year with big box stores like Target?
Yeah. You know, the way that it happened was I saw on Facebook from a few Target friends that we were going to be opening up at midnight and that team members would be required to be in for their shift at 11 p.m. on Thanksgiving night. And, you know, that in and of itself is kind of not cool, but then I started thinking about it, and I was like, I'm going to be working an overnight shift on the busiest and craziest retail day of the year. I'm going to need to be well-rested for this. And I started thinking, like, I'm going to have to go to bed at, like, 2 o'clock in the afternoon to get just 8 hours of sleep to be ready for my shift at 11. And that just didn't sit well with me because, you know, Thanksgiving dinners, they're in the evening, you know, it takes time to make all that food. So I started doing a little bit of research on Google, found the change.org website on how to start a petition and got it started. And it's just been snowballing from there.
and you've received thousands upon thousands at this point when we're interviewing you on Tuesday, 90,000 signatures from consumers as well as we assume other employees of retail and service operations who are pushing back against this idea of having the holiday be a day when employees need to show up on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Talk about that response that you've heard.
Oh, it's wonderful. I think the part that touches me the most is to see the consumers that care about the Target team members and the retail workers in general, you know, to see folks say, yeah, that's a bit ridiculous. Even I, the bargain hunter, think that people should be allowed to stay at home in the evening to be with their families on Thanksgiving. I know that there's a lot of retail people out there who support this petition, and there's some that have started petitions of their own. And, you know, I support them because it's not just Target, it's Walmart, Best Buy, Kohl's, all across the country. There's retailers looking at this midnight open, and, you know, it's time for them to hear the employees and the consumers that support the employees, you know. Just start listening to our voices a little bit, please.
And we did contact Target, and they declined from being interviewed on the air, but did send us a statement, which we'll share, and I did send it to you so you could respond. A couple of their points were that they said that they had been hearing from their consumers that their consumers would like to be shopping on Thanksgiving night, and also they had some comments about you looking to take the day off and that you were going to be working elsewhere. Anyways, could you comment on some of their comments?
Yeah, you know, first I'd like to address this false dichotomy that they're trying to perpetuate about the consumers demanding that the stores be open at midnight. You know, I have no doubt that there are a few consumers out there who think that this is a great idea and they applaud it. But the vast majority of retail shoppers, the people who are looking for the bargains, do not want to be outside of a Target store in the middle of the night, in the middle of the winter, trying to fight hundreds, if not thousands, of other people for the 10 flat panel televisions that a Target is going to mark down by a couple hundred dollars. You know, no sane shopper thinks that is an awesome scenario. And then to strike back at a little bit of the personal things that Target has said about me, I've worked with Target for 3 years. I've worked in various positions, be they as a cart attendant, cashier, security guard, etc. And in my 3 years, I have been told that no one is going to be granted a request off for Black Friday under any circumstances. So for Target to all of a sudden say that I put in a request to have Black Friday off, which is untrue, and that it was received and granted by them, that's a pretty long stretch on the reality of the situation. I spoke with my direct supervisor, the guest service team lead at my store, and you know, we discussed me working 11 p.m. to 4:30 a.m. so that I could leave and go to my other job at 5 a.m. and work a shift there. My intention was to go in at 11 p.m. and deliver the fast, fun, and friendly service that Target asks of its team members, and it is only within the last few hours that I've learned that I am not going to be doing this. So I'm a little disappointed because I feel like I'm not going to be there to help my teammates on my store team on this difficult shopping day. You know, I care about my fellow teammates, and I want to help them out. And Target is trying to save a little bit of face here, it seems like, and in the process, they're just going to make it more difficult for my teammates beyond what it already is because they're missing Thanksgiving.
Have you received any backlash from Target or feel that your job is not secure?
Well, you know, I've heard through the grapevine that Target has said my job is safe and that they respect, you know, the right to freedom of speech and things of that nature. But, you know, I am a little nervous because in the corporate world, the nail that sticks out tends to get hammered down. And right now I'm sticking out pretty far, and we'll see how it goes. But I know that the people that run Target are rational, objective people, and that if we can just set aside the emotion of the situation, that there is a middle ground here, that we just need to establish a dialogue. I haven't spoken to anyone from Target about this at all, not directly, and I'd love to, just so that we can start getting something hammered out. You know, there's a solution here. We just need to put our heads together and find it.
And finally, Anthony Hardwick, anything else you would like to add, but also if you could speak to the current reality of the power that low-wage, non-unionized retail and service employees, which seems to be the growing number of people in the labor force these days, the power and lack of power these laborers have in our economy and our day-to-day life?
Well, you know, the retail worker of America is a growing sector of employee. And I think that, you know, the old way of doing business with employees of, you know, just kind of saying, well, you're lucky to have this job. I'm not sure if that's going to be a viable option as, you know, we move into a society where jobs are not available, you know. As more and more people become for employment, they're going to look towards retail for this. And I think that it's morally right for the employer to start really adhering to an open door policy and listening to the demands of their employees. You know, it's if they do not want a union, which is what a lot of the retail employers say, we don't want a union, then you're going to really have to put some more effort into the open door policy so that Target team members and retail workers feel like they have a voice.
Anthony Hardwick, anything else you want to add?
You know, I want to reemphasize that the whole purpose of this petition is to get the retail workers, the Target team members, a legitimate day off for Thanksgiving to spend with their families. You know, that's what it's all about. So I would just ask people to keep that in mind. That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm doing this for. It's for the people I work with that I care about, and I want them to see their family members on Thanksgiving.
Anthony Hardwick, employee of Target and author of a petition at change.org. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was a wonderful interview. Thank you.
According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture statistics, approximately 15% of Mainers, or 200,000 people, struggled with hunger in 2010. More than 68,000 of those were children. That's one in every four. Food banks across the state have seen an upsurge in food requests this year, and this includes Thanksgiving food boxes. The Tree of Life Food Pantry in Blue Hill reports record-breaking requests, and the Loaves and Fishes Food Pantry in Ellsworth reports a 21% increase in general demand in this fall's numbers compared to last. In Bangor, the organization Food and Medicine, in conjunction with the Eastern Maine Labor Council, will be engaging again in Solidarity Harvest, an annual effort by workers, unions, and others to send Thanksgiving boxes to laid-off workers and others. The food all comes from local farmers and businesses by donation or purchase, primarily from money raised by union and other specific fund drives. Today we have with us Willow Cordes Eklund, the coordinator of this year's Solidarity Harvest. Welcome to the program, Willow.
Thanks.
During these economic times, food pantries, shelters, government fuel and housing programs have all seen an increase in need. Has Solidarity Harvest seen that as well?
Yeah, this year we're nearly doubling the need from last year. Last year we did just over 300 boxes, and this year we're reaching out to 550 families.
Talk about this model. The Solidarity Harvest model is perhaps different than other food pantry models. Can you explain that to our listeners?
Yeah, certainly. So the Solidarity Harvest was born about 9 years ago. This is the ninth year, when there was a large union layoff. So the recipients of our baskets are unemployed union workers mainly, who have lost their jobs due to trade and the poor state of the economy. We also have dinners going out to low-income families throughout Maine through efforts of child care providers. And the other unique part of this model or this act of solidarity is that it's a very intentional act in building community from union locals to union members. It's a proactive step in supporting a strong Maine economy, and we do that through purchasing local foods. We are supporting local farmers, keeping our dollars in Maine, striving to provide not only a Thanksgiving dinner, but also a connection with your neighboring farmers.
And that is similar to another effort by Food and Medicine and the Eastern Maine Labor Council, the union-supported agriculture project?
Yes, exactly. Union-supported agriculture is another program that we have going on out of Food and Medicine, and it strives to provide affordable, local-grown produce through efforts of the Half SNAP program. And
could you explain what the Half SNAP program is?
The Half SNAP is an effort where we've raised money to basically supplement the cost of a union-supported agriculture share of SNAP users. So someone with SNAP, government food assistance, could come and purchase a basket for half the price, and we, through our fundraising, have paid that other half. And that is very in line with Solidarity Harvest, where we really we're very intentional in our purchasing and how we do that. This year, there are over 10 farms contributing to the baskets. 100 volunteers or so will be needed over the weekend, and over 500 families receiving this act of solidarity this year.
And can you talk about what those days of working on the Solidarity Harvest look like and what volunteer or food needs Solidarity Harvest still has, or what needs people who are interested in might look to engaging with in a future Solidarity Harvest?
Yeah, definitely. This year, if anyone listening is interested in getting involved, we have our Sort Weekend starting Thursday through Monday, and that's a big leap from years past where it's just been traditionally a Saturday and Sunday with maybe a couple more baskets going out on Monday. But because we've grown as large as we have, we're having a pie bake day here at the Solidarity Center on 20 Ivor Street in Brewer, where we're baking 200 homemade pumpkin pies. Yeah. And setting up the sort room, meaning we'll be lugging up 25-pound bags of potatoes and 50-pound bags of onions up from the cellar into the large main room where we'll be sorting. And those sorts will be happening Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from about 8 a.m. until we finish, hopefully not any much past 5.
And you're still looking for people?
Yeah, we would love people to come by and help. We have a strong need for Friday volunteers, both in sorting food, as we have a goal or a need to get 250 baskets sorted and out the door. We are also having a second pie bake day where we'll be making 100 apple pies at the Salvation Army in Bangor. And the times of both of those volunteer opportunities are 8 to 5. On Friday the 19th.
And how can people get more information if they want to call to plug in?
They can email me at willow@foodandmedicine.org or give a call to the Solidarity Center. The number here is 989-5860.
And we understand Occupy Bangor participants will also be participating in this as one of their acts of community solidarity.
Yes, on Saturday there's a big pull for Occupy Bangor to wrangle up folks from the occupation and bring them over to the center, as Food and Medicine and the Eastern Maine Labor Council have started a dialogue with Occupy Bangor and how we can build a working relationship.
Willow Cordes Eklund, anything else that you'd like to add?
Yeah, I would love to mention also the larger hope of behind Solidarity Harvest, as this is one act in providing a Thanksgiving meal to families, but we have this other hope and intention that this event can help bring attention to the larger needs of many folks in Maine, that there are many families struggling daily just to make ends meet. We've heard many stories this year of folks not having enough for medications, and that leading them to having to cut pills in half to stretch them out, or oftentimes even worse so, going without. Solidarity Harvest is a simple act of kindness that hopes to have ripple effects of awareness, unity, and change, and it truly has been a life-changing experience for me to be a part of organizing this event. And I hope that folks who feel motivated to get involved feel free to come on down.
Great. Willow Cordes Eklund with Food and Medicine, speaking about Solidarity Harvest, which is also a project of the Eastern Maine Labor Council. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
As the police forcefully expel Occupy Wall Street encampments across the country and at Wall Street itself, Occupy Bangor is facing new hurdles. Yesterday, the city presented Occupy Bangor with a letter requesting all day tents in Pierce Park be taken down by 10 this evening. After a meeting today between Occupy Bangor representatives and city officials, that deadline has been postponed until Sunday night. The city is now requesting that Occupy Bangor apply for a 3-day event permit, which could be renewed indefinitely, though up to the discretion of the city. Canopy tents still would need to be taken down each night. During the day, the city says fire, signs, drums, and speech would be allowed. This move does not affect the overnight encampment on the Bangor Public Library's property. The Occupy Bangor General Assembly will discuss the possibility of an agreement this evening. Originally, Occupy Bangor stipulated that their presence is not an event but an assembly. After a court ruling vacating the city's past assembly ordinance, a new ordinance has yet to be written in Bangor. Lawrence Reichert says Occupy Bangor continues to hear the stories of people who drop by every day who are struggling and feel their voices are not represented.
These are often poor people, working people, and the working poor. And they tell us their story of how they've been rendered unemployed, how they've had their social programs slashed, and how they're living in hardship. It's a direct result of the economic disaster that we are currently experiencing, which was caused by the 1%. I have the very definite impression that many of these people have had their stories and their grievances bottled up inside of them for years and decades now, and that the Occupy movement has opened a public space, a public domain, in which they are able to express this for the first time in years, where it is publicly acceptable for them to express this as opposed to keeping it bottled up inside of them. And I think that this is one of the most wonderful aspects of the Occupy movement. I think it is an extremely important aspect of the Occupy movement, and that is one of the many reasons that we are committed to defending Occupy Bangor and defending the Occupy movement so that we can maintain that public space and that public domain.
We also spoke with Hillary Lister yesterday at Occupy Augusta.
Things are going pretty well, definitely getting ready for winter. We've had every day endless donations, new people from the area coming and bringing donations from all walks of life. Got lots of hay for insulation. We got a big military winter tent now. We have a lodge that from the Penobscot Nation that's set up. and endless donations of firewood, it seems like. So people are just getting ready for the winter, maintaining communication with Capitol Security. They've continued to say just today in the Kennebec Journal, we've been respectful of use of the park, and as long as that continues, they have no deadline for us to leave, and people are planning on staying.
Occupy Augusta has a website now at OccupyAugustaME.org. There is a rally on the Capitol steps each Saturday and Sunday at noon. Occupy Bangor's website is OccupyBangor.org. You've been listening to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal with Meredith DeFrancesco and Amy Brown. You can listen to archives of this program at WERU.org.